Often imitated, never duplicated. The one and only B. Scott. You're listening to The B. Scott Show. Get ready, love muffins.
Don't ever fucking play with me. Y'all niggas know, y'all bitches know I'm the fucking queen. You hoe bitches know. You dirty bum bitches know. Got the strings on them.
Woke up, the price of coke up. I just hit them with the low cut, then call my folks up. Somebody about to get poked up, go call a tow truck. All that talking out your neck might just get your throat cut. This a Mack truck, not a black truck. When we move, tell them back up. Click, click, clack, duck. Hella bands, pull up, stashed up. Super facts up.
Well, well, well. Miss Manoj. Mm-hmm. We're back with another podcast episode. And that was Nicki Minaj. Yikes. Yeah, I actually like the song.
I like it.
Yeah.
It runs.
Yeah, and I like, I mean, the thing I like the most about it is the beat. I really like the beat. But also, I mean, I like Nicki. I mean, I just want Nicki to get back to just, you know, get back in her bag.
Stop beefing on the internet.
Yeah, just like, be Nicki. Her delivery and how she, you know, enunciates and pronounces things, I really do enjoy when she is... you know, having fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but part of what you mentioned is like on the internet beefing. from what happened on the internet, basically was like Meek Mill had liked a picture that had her husband, Kenneth Petty, like photoshopped into, you know, into like standing beside some mannequins.
In a window display.
In a window display by some mannequins and wearing these super tight, super duper duper tight pants.
But those weren't Photoshop. Those are his actual pants.
Leggings. Yeah. That was actually, you can't call them pants. They're actually leggings. So she saw that apparently, or someone brought it to her attention. And because she has a relationship with the Shade Room, they posted it and she obviously saw it and then she popped off. So she got to Twitter and she got Twitter fingers. And she basically was going in on him and saying, you know,
bad built face,
bad built as face something. You know, she was going in, and then Meek Mill blew her head off.
Woo, didn't he?
He just cocked the damn rifle. I said,
I couldn't breathe.
I think were we on the phone together?
We were on the phone together.
I said, "Oh my god, that's
you,
what
you got
I said."
Off the phone.
I did. I had to go.
You got off the phone.
It was too much. I gotta go.
Okay, I'll get to writing.
So you got to read exactly what he said to her.
Verbatim.
Yes, verbatim. So you need to get the click clacking.
He said, "The only way you can try to kill my career is to say I beat women. Talk about your brother convicted of rape, and you been new and paid for his lawyer. Your little brother touched the little girl too. You know, I know. You want me to crash with your boyfriend, and I won't."
That's so heavy.
Say some other stuff. Everybody in the industry knows you're a bad person. You've been new. Your brother was raping that little girl, and that's why I got away from you. Surrounded by rapists talking what? Stop playing. You picked a great time to be saying I ever put my hands on you. You're full of hate, and the whole industry knows you're full of hate. And your bag's getting low, so you want to destroy me.
That was like such a thorough read.
It was a read.
That was a thorough read. That was one of the things, like, the thing is, in this day and age, but especially... if your brother was just convicted to 25 years to life, he was just sentenced for 25 years to life for raping an underage girl that was his stepdaughter. And the information related to that that's so fucking disturbing is he was raping her 3 to 4 times a week.
And during the trial, the DNA expert found his semen dried on the 12-year-old girl's pajama pants. And apparently, according to me, the little brother was touching it too.
It's so heavy.
It's heavy.
And then Nicki's response to that was like, allegedly.
You beat me, kicked me, and then beat your sister on tape. And then Meek was like, that didn't happen.
Right. And then also, but what is that? She did not address what he said.
Not at all.
She did not address that she knew that her older brother and younger brother was molesting this girl.
That would have been my first.
Yeah.
You a damn lie. Like, don't ever.
Where we start is with that. Is how I address that.
Absolutely.
I don't care. Like, even if you did beat my ass, we will get to that later. But at first, you're going to address that. I'm going to address the fact that you said that I knew that my brother's been molesting an underage girl. And also, the crazy thing about it is her husband
is a rapist.
Is a rapist. And a murderer.
Manslaughterer.
Yeah. So it's like, I just...
He said surrounded by rapists.
It's too much. It's way too much. And the thing is, if you have all of that going on, if you know you have all of that going on, you don't need to be beefing with nobody like Meek Mill. Because Meek Mill has shown himself to be very straightforward on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anything that he's feeling, he's going to say it and he's going to like deliver it. But I was not, I mean, in my professional opinion, I was not ready for that.
Me neither.
That it shows you that people are fed up.
He said, you've been new.
People are on edge. People are literally on edge. I could imagine Nicki Minaj like that. I could have just like her husband, everybody.
Face cracked.
Face cracked. And then she talking about, I'm going to see you soon.
Over some
legs. So what you're going to do is you're going to get your husband that just got out of jail, put back in jail.
Mm.
And you might go along with him. So it'll be you, your brother, your husband. Probably a little brother now because Meek, I mean,
if, all the pity's in prison.
If I was a prosecutor and everyone's aware of these Twitter and beefs and things. If I was a prosecutor and I just put the older brother away and Meek Mill said something like that, I would bring him in for questioning because I would need to know what he knows, how he knows it. And also, is there any validity to that? Mm. Because if they both were molesting this young girl, they both should be up in that prison.
I would agree. And I don't think, and I, part of me thinks that's why she didn't press it further.
Right. I think a part of it was that she was number one. I think, you know what it is? She has to be on that stuff.
Mm.
Because when you on that stuff, you do delusional things as if the outcome that's going to obviously come your direction is not going to come.
Mm.
So she thought she was going to like, in her own head, she thought she was going to get up there and pop off on Twitter and Meek Mill was not going to say nothing.
People do that though.
Yeah. And additionally, Meek Mill is on edge because of the whole Drake situation too. Because when they were beefing, you know, mm-hmm. Drake
he
did.
Got
when,
slaughtered.
He got slaughtered and he did the back to back. And he said, this not going to happen again. So his first. Nikki. She made a mistake because he was on ready. Mm-hmm. He was like, no, I learned my lesson from the whole Drake situation.
You're
not going to sun me. Nobody's going to sun me ever again, especially when I have a child on the way too.
Mm.
His girlfriend is really pretty.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I had missed that whole like narrative until he said it. I was like, oh shit, there's a girl and a baby.
I think she's really pretty. And what I hate to see is when no matter whose side you are on, who you're a fan of, it's sad to see, for example, Nicki Minaj's fans were going in on his girlfriend
mm-hmm.
and saying derogatory things about her. And she's very pretty to me. And she's pregnant. And so when you're pregnant, you're not at your best anyway. But in addition to that, I hate to see people talk and degrade people who look just like them.
Mm.
And I see that happening a lot in the Black community where we always have something to negative to say about somebody that hasn't done all this facial work, that hasn't, you know, did all this stuff to their body and changed it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. So you are going to say that this person's ugly because they look like you?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's one of the things that really wears me out about the internet. Like, I'm tired of it. I'm like, I see it over and over and over where people are competing to say the nastiest negative things about people who really could be their brother or sister, literally look just like you, and you are talking about your own fucking features.
Well, I just didn't like that Nicki tried to call Meek ugly. Like, was he ugly when you dated him?
Right.
Like, was he bad building all that when you were laying up in the bed with him?
She has a pattern of everybody that she, any person that she's no longer with, she talks shit about.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is with her and Mr. Petty, is like you can already tell that she didn't got that situation, she didn't got herself in a situation that she ain't ever gonna leave.
Mm-hmm.
Because she ain't gonna be able to leave it. I already feel his vibe and energy. And he you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So she gonna be stuck for a long time. I'm here sitting here trying to scroll. I'm scrolling something that somebody had tweeted the other day. And I was like, that was a damn good quote. And I can't really find it because we've been posting so much stuff on Twitter. It's like, I'm scrolling. Like,
quote about?
The quote was like basically saying like all the different people that told us about Nicki Minaj, they were not wrong.
Oh, they're like Lil' Kim, Safari, Meek Mill.
Mariah.
I know exactly what you're talking
mm-hmm.
about.
It was like a long list of them. And it was so true. But apparently I post so much shit, I can't find it. Do we have the last episode we talked about the lovebscott.com exclusive little soundbite thing? Because have an exclusive.
I need to find it.
Okay, I'll just do it then.
I do need to find it. I forgot.
This is a LoveBScott.com exclusive. That's what it is. All right, so we have another exclusive. It's, you know, it's more of a continuation exclusive. Mm. Housewives of Atlanta is back tonight for the first time in a couple of weeks. And NeNe Leakes is not going to be on this episode. And it is becoming a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot call a thing not a thing that is apparently such a thing. Because, you know, I have, you know, the crazy thing about this whole, when we run exclusives and stuff, we have received so much flack for Lanithia.
Which I don't understand it.
We have.
It's just NeNe, y'all.
We have received so much flack for Lanithia. When we ran the exclusive about her being suspended, she won't suspend it. Y'all are liars. How you know? Blah, 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 blah. She came out through her team, through Entertainment Tonight, saying, you know, that wasn't true. Da, 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 da. Then she came out and did an interview and said things are the season's going to start off a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see, when we drop an exclusive and then you see people struggle to explain it or come up with a like an alternate or alternative narrative, that's when you know exactly what we said is true. Right? So we said she was suspended because she was, you know, she got in a physical altercation with the camera guy and the producer in the closet, knocked his tooth out. He went to the hospital. And then she's also just been really nasty behind the scenes. And it's two things going on. That part is her fault, with the part about being really nasty behind the scenes and the physical aggression that she did against the producer. There's another component going on here that I think is going on with a lot of the housewives that were there from the very beginning. What happens is, over time, your paychecks get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And at some point, Bravo starts looking at you like, okay, well, if we get rid of you, we'll be able to keep more money for ourselves. Okay? So I think that's a part of it as well. But NeNe is not making it any, you know, she's not making it difficult for them at all.
Right.
Because she's playing right into their hands. And in addition to that, she's not even being the NeNe that we know and love.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets on the show and she's just, I mean, I'm literally like, who is this white woman?
She's rude with no story.
No, who is this white woman? Like, she's coming at, she literally looks like a black white woman.
What?
She's black, but she looks like a white woman. Like, all her faces have been like that or a Muppet. It's like, oh, it's just.
Jesus.
One of the two, but the Muppet does not have black features.
The Muppet white too.
Right. And they're all going to the same plastic surgeon. It's like her, Tamar, Lil' Kim, all of them are blending together. Like, you were not siblings when y'all came into this earth. How do y'all look just alike? But anyway, I digress. So NeNe's not making it any more difficult for them. And we already told you in our exclusives that NeNe gets paid per episode.
Mm-hmm.
So there was another rumblings out there where people try and discredit us saying that she's not getting paid per episode. She's getting paid per episode. She does have a guaranteed amount of episodes she is to appear.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to give her not one episode more than her guarantee, because that's why she's being removed out of episode after episode. I think at this point, she has to have been cut out like at least five or six.
Yeah, I'd say four or five, somewhere in there.
Yeah, because I mean, the first two, and then it's been a couple of more.
Then there was one where she even got on Twitter herself and was like, y'all don't watch it because I don't show up until the last 5 seconds.
Right.
Like, those are her words. So there's very clearly something happening.
It's a conscious effort. It's a conscious effort to put her in a place.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't want to be put in her place. But at the end of the day, what other place is she going to go to get paid the amount of money that she currently makes from the Housewives of Atlanta?
Not the sister circles of success or whatever she's trying to say. It's a circle. What'd you say? It's a circle.
It is a circle. And then, so moving on from that,
we got to talk, because that might be why she hired Lisa Bloom.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Yep. Lisa Bloom. Okay.
That's a thing.
That's a thing. So she hired Lisa Bloom, who is, in my opinion, she's an ambulance chaser.
Mm.
And she's not credible at all. And a lot of the things a lot of people that she has represented have been guilty as hell. You know what I mean? It's like, it's weird. It's like,
she's a lawyer for show. She doesn't really do much.
Yeah, because wasn't she Black Channel's lawyer too?
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
And who in the hell let her in on the Oscar red carpet?
I just saw that a few minutes ago, and I
I looked and saw that. I said, somebody take the trash out. Just take it. Just take the trash out. Like that, she, that, okay, her being on the Oscar red carpet has really shown you how everything has gone to shit.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we know and love has gone to shit. That's why I don't watch the award shows anymore, because all of it's a bunch of, it's like, it's trash.
I'm starting to think the apocalypse happened.
It's happened.
We're just stuck.
The Antichrist is among us.
We left. I mean,
he is here.
We got left behind.
He is. We did. I think we got left behind. The rapture happened.
It did, and it keeps taking people up out of here, and we're left behind
because it used to be the Oscars was such a coveted thing.
Yeah.
That only the best of the best, the A-listers, and even some A-listers wouldn't even make it to the carpet of the Oscars. Now, Blac Chyna is on the carpet with her titties out. And that big old tattoo on her thigh, it's like, it's just throw the whole carpet away. The Oscars have been canceled. The Grammys should have been canceled.
And these finger waves.
And all of it.
I'm looking at it right now.
And the whole dress is like she's marching to hell. It's like, it's just not what we need. Why are you looking like that?
I just read a quote from one of the, you know how they have the counts that do like the red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, Blac Chyna has arrived to the Oscars, in parentheses. Before you ask, we have no idea either.
She's probably sucking somebody dick that got her on the carpet. I mean, it has to be something. It's, sometimes we think about things that are bigger than what it is. It has to be something like that. It's a direct exchange. I'm going
to
do this, and I'm going to get on this carpet.
She don't act. She doesn't sing.
She's been nominated for nothing. She's never been nominated for nothing.
Why would she?
I'm surprised that Kris Jenner ain't get her up off that carpet.
Embezzle. That's the only thing I know her for.
Somebody probably like call Kris.
You come get this girl.
Blac Chyna's on the carpet. Get her out of here. Get her.
I'm just confused.
Oh, okay. So NeNe hired Lisa Bloom.
Yeah.
And
then put it on Instagram.
And then try to... What I hate what NeNe's doing is that in so many of these things, if you're going to talk your shit, if you're going to do certain things, stand behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Please stand behind it. If you're going to post about Lisa Bloom on your Instagram talking about, you know, things that shit's about to pop off, that she said she's about to make some noise. That's what she said. I'm going to make some noise. Okay, when you say that, everybody know that you're talking about Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lisa Bloom is, that's what she does. She sues people civilly. Okay? So, and think about the people she's going to sue. She ain't going to sue me because we tell her nothing but the truth.
Hello.
She ain't going to sue Wendy Williams because Wendy Williams, you know,
But
Wendy Williams talked about a text message you sent her.
Right.
And let's be clear, too. If you send something, and I'm typically not really on Wendy Williams' side, but let me say this. If you send a text message to me or Wendy, what the hell you think I'm going to do with it? What the hell? If somebody texts me right now, if NeNe texts me right now saying I am quitting the show and I'm sitting here doing my podcast, do you think I'm going to be like, okay, that was in confidence and I'm not going to talk about my podcast? You know, it's weird. It's like, and then, okay, that's how you know that what Wendy said was true, because then Wendy explained Lisa Bloom on her show.
Mm-hmm.
And said, no, it's not about, you know, it's nothing... it's
nothing that we would know. It's like her side dealings that nobody really knows about.
She doesn't have no side dealings.
That's what I'm saying. NeNe would never put that on Instagram for the public if it wasn't about something
that was a threat, and she's not that bright. It's a threat. You don't threaten Bravo. You don't threaten the people who already don't like you. threatening the company that's already sitting you down. They're sitting her down.
Mm-hmm.
Episode after episode, she's being cut out of. And so now you're going to post Lisa Bloom to threaten Bravo. Because Lisa Bloom is only going to be following the money. The only person that has the type of money that she would try to go after would be an NBC Bravo situation.
Basically.
And all of this stuff, you know, Love Muffins, let me also say this. So I think I said it before in the podcast. I want you to really hear it now. So when you look at certain situations, you follow who has the money, and that's likely who people go after. And then also you have to ask yourself, when exclusive information or things get released and you question it, but you have to ask yourself, who is the person that's going to benefit most for this from this information being released?
Mm-hmm.
And then that would allow you to kind of figure out different information that you may be hearing about whatever particular topic. You know, follow the money and then follow who it benefits. Or if they're separate, just follow who it benefits. Because people, everybody has an agenda. And one of the things I want to talk about is, you know, our exclusive with Jennifer Lopez and, you know, the whole thing about Jay-Z, Roc Nation, Jennifer Lopez not perform, you know, they wanted her to remove the border crisis segment of her show, mm-hmm. of her Super Bowl show. And no sooner than we ran the exclusive, we were then reached out to by Roc Nation. Roc Nation and Jay-Z and their attorney. If I had his name right now, I would say it. Because, I mean, it's important for me now that I'm not going to ever be put in a situation where I'm going to be silenced or I'm going to be bullied or pressured. They're trying to pressure me much like they tried to pressure Jennifer Lopez. And so they reached out to my attorneys that are helping me with my situation I have with the copyright photos, copyrighted photos. And they were trying to have this, you know, off the record, you know, not
kind
really
like roundabout. We're not going to threaten you, but we are going to kind of try to threaten you.
Right. And the thing, the problem with that is that, you know, my attorneys are from a very high profile law firm. And so he knew that he couldn't come, their attorney. What if, did you find his name?
Andrew Kupinse or Kupince.
Okay. Andrew Kupince.
Kupinse.
Right. So I'm in this podcast. This is going to be, you know, continue to be a way where I discuss the real issues that's going on in our lives. Mm-hmm. So we dropped the exclusive. He almost immediately reached out to my attorneys. But before I knew something was coming, but before he reached out to my attorney, he had reached out to one of my peers, Roc Nation, or somebody on Roc Nation's behalf, reached out to one of my peers asking for my direct contact information, my cell phone and my email. And I, because I'm a nuck when you buck type of bitch, I said, okay, yeah, give it to him. And, but the thing is, they masked that into Mariah's management.
Right.
Somebody from Mariah's management. I said, well, Mariah's management is Roc Nation right now. So I was like, and also anybody associated with Mariah wouldn't be going that way to get to me. Because guess what? Mariah has my text. Mariah has my number. Mariah would call me. Mariah's assistant would call me. Mariah Holt, you know what I mean? Like, right. They have multiple avenues to get to me. So that's when that was the first little, this don't make sense. But they decided not to go that route because I had a representation. Mm-hmm. And a representation of the magnitude that I have for that case. And so he knew he had to kind of test the waters because you can't be throwing around threats like that about things pertaining to, that have repercussions. Mm-hmm. And the repercussions are, you know, number one, we're telling the truth. Number two, you know, anything that could possibly foul, like, you know, what do you call it? Liable and defamation. Those cases are so difficult because one, you have to prove that it wasn't true. You have to prove that we knew the information was false and we still ran with it. Mm-hmm. You have to prove malicious intent. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so none of that, because in the email, the first email he said, I don't think it's malicious. Well, then get the hell off this email exchange then.
I'm just concerned for your sources.
Yeah. And the thing is, what I also want to point to is that this wasn't as easy for them to deny, like the Vegas situation. We had an exclusive about Beyonce going to Vegas and doing a residency. And we ran the exclusive and then a rep, not Yvette, I want people to get it. Yvette typically comes out and slams a story related to Beyonce in most cases. She's been doing it a lot recently. She puts her name behind it. She didn't slam my story because, you know, Beyonce is doing something in Vegas. We don't know what it is. It may change because, you know, Beyonce doesn't like when people put out the information before she does. So she may, her, you know, ego situation may just make it go.
A two-nighter.
Something is happening because, I mean, we didn't pull that out my ass.
Okay.
I didn't wake up one morning and say, oh, I'm going to create some positive buzz for Beyonce. She didn't send me no damn. She didn't send me no damn Ivy Park. I need security. And speaking of somebody that needs security,
I was about to just say.
Lori Harvey.
Oh, I'm going to say Gayle King.
She knows security too. But we can do Lori and then go to Gayle.
Lori has some weird energy around her because too much stuff keeps happening.
Uh-huh.
She flipped over the car, hit and run, and now she almost got her car jacked.
In Atlanta. A lot of shit be happening in Atlanta, and a lot of robberies specifically be happening in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And so she definitely needs security there rolling around with Future.
Hello.
But that... I saw the video of it. It was in a parking lot. And she was in the back of the, around the back of the car, in the trunk of the boot of the car. And the guys that were robbing her snuck up around the front and then got into the car. Like, the door was open and he jumped into the front seat. Mm-hmm. And she struggled with him for a second. But then she didn't just kind of, like, she didn't run off. She just casually walked off.
Like, in her phone, like it looked like she was texting almost. Like, yeah. Girl, you don't believe what just happened.
Yeah, but casually walked off. Like, if that happened to me, number one, I wouldn't be struggling with nobody inside the car.
Okay.
I'm saying if I was her. I may been in how I feel, because I'm just, you know.
Yeah, it's a different situation.
I'm a man, you know, it's different.
Yeah.
And I got hands. So I might just go boop, boop, boop. If I didn't see no gun, no knife, I might go for it. But her, as a woman, I would have just immediately started running.
Booking it.
I would, because I wouldn't be worried about my shit, the car, and none of it. I'll be worried about my health, my life. You know, I'm Lori Harvey. I can buy all this shit again. I gotta go. That's how I would have been.
Running.
That's what makes me question the situation.
Do you think it was a PR stunt?
I don't know.
Because it does seem very weird that, again, if you watch the video, she calmly walks off while there is a man who tried to jack her car, still, like, at her car.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't run off yet.
Mm-mm.
And there was
And why is she casually trying to walk off? Is that to, like, not draw more attention to the situation?
Would she want attention on the situation?
Yeah, I would be screaming. Help! Yeah.
You know?
I would definitely be screaming. Like, and then she just...
At that point, you didn't know if there was, like, another person waiting in a car to snatch her up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just, it's very bizarre.
I didn't know if it was a kidnapping. I don't know what it would be if I was her.
That's what I'm saying.
Because another car pulled up at the same time, mm-hmm, that she was, like, sauntering off.
Else out the car, out the back of the car.
That's what we call a saunter. She was just sauntering on off, like, it's just like a little stroll.
Yeah,
like she had no care in the world. So I don't know.
I'm trying to FaceTime her dad again.
Probably. I don't know what's going on. And if she's dating Future in Atlanta, Future should have some guys with her.
Well, he might not want to do that.
But he needs to have something. You know, they need to have some security. Because, I mean, if you think about it, remember the guy that got killed on his birthday? The Clifford, whatever, the friend of the basketball player who got killed right on his birthday, and they robbed him.
Yeah.
He walked out and they robbed him. And then it was another person that died in Atlanta, too.
That.
Like, Atlanta got a lot of stuff going on, and they're robbing high profile celebrities. And so
At the Whole Foods.
Say what?
At the Whole Foods.
She was at the Whole Foods.
She just got done shopping at Whole Foods. Yeah.
Wow. Nothing safe. You can't even go and buy your overpriced food. This is crazy. Mm. But then going from crazy to another crazy situation, Gayle King.
Gayle King needs security, according to Oprah.
And we did talk about that on the last show, right, Gayle? Or no?
No, we didn't.
Okay,
really.
Well, Gayle did, but in the last show I did talk about, if you're going to talk about Kobe's rape situation, you got to provide the context.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, Gayle didn't provide context for it. She just, as she was talking to Lisa Leslie, she asked her about those accusations, and that whole situation was not the way to do it.
No.
It was a rookie mistake.
I think so. I think
that. And she's a seasoned professional. And that, to me, is the problem about why I feel the criticism of her is warranted, because she made a rookie mistake and she's a seasoned professional, which then makes me believe, were there ulterior motives?
Right. I think that she had every right to bring them up. Where I draw the issue is after she asked the question and Lisa was like, you know, he wasn't like that with me, she went back to it. Well, you wouldn't see it. You wouldn't. Okay, ma'am, just move on. Like, stop antagonizing this girl.
Mm-hmm.
About, she answered the question.
Yeah.
And I think her personal, you know, bias kind of got in the way there.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is the issue.
Yeah, my issue is that if she was going to talk about it, she did not need to bring in Lisa Leslie, who is a friend of Kobe's. They went to Olympics together. They had, you know, beautiful memories, beautiful experiences together. If you want to talk about that, you can do a segment on your show where you kind of talk about all, like, you know, Kobe's from the beginning, mm-hmm, to where he's at now.
Mm-hmm.
And you can include that in there and, mm-hmm, give it context as to what was happening during that time period when these accusations were made. Okay. And so, and what people of color feel and what other people may feel. Cause, you know, people of color, we have seen time and time again where people make accusations against us. Especially if it's a white person. A white, mm, person, it was a white girl that Kobe had allegedly raped.
Correct.
And will make these accusations against high-profile people, or not even high-profile people,
just make accusations.
And then they turn out to not be true.
Mm.
And so, you know, and then on the other side of that is, like, I think it was also during the time period where O.J. Simpson had just gotten off. I think it was around that time period, if I'm not mistaken. And people were just feeling, you know, everything was very... polarized at that time period, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that what she should have done as a seasoned journalist, if you want to talk about it, you have a right to talk about it. But don't pull in one of his friends or people, a person who has special memories with him to help you talk about that.
Right. Because he died.
Because that's a personal choice for her. She may even, however she feels about what Gail asked her, that may be something she wants to keep private in her life and without it being public and talking to Gail King.
Right.
It was very, it was weird how she did that. That was not necessary. I think that Gail knew exactly what she did. I think that, you know, you should also know that if you're going to ask that type of question, of course CBS and the people producing the episode and the people promoting the episode are going to highlight that component.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's the controversial component of the whole entire interview. Otherwise, you're just rehashing all the things that
and
we know about.
It could be controversial.
Exactly.
In the first place.
So I think what she miscalculated, much like how Oprah miscalculated, is that, you know, they come from a period where they were huge. TV was everything, and that was the end all be all.
There was no pushback.
There was no pushback. Now we live in the age of digital media, and the pushback is serious, and you feel it, and it's instant, and it's as big as if you had a national syndicated talk show like Oprah, or if you're on CBS in the morning like Gail. It's bigger than that, actually. When the internet gets caught, gets a hold of something, and they start going in. It's bigger than the cumulative reach of a one particular show.
Oh, absolutely.
So then you have Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg inserts himself in and call her old ugly face. He called her something. He was going in on her.
Called her a bitch.
He called her all type of things and said that basically it felt like a threat to me.
It felt like a threat to me, too.
It felt very much like, you know, we will find you. it was kind of like Nikki's "we'll see you soon" type of thing. And so that happened, and then it kind of snowballed. Everybody was like, you know, under that post, you could see a lot of high profile celebrities were agreeing with Snoop Dogg, even under that threat.
And then you had Ari Lennox on Instagram. I'm talking about Okra and Kale.
I'm
sick of them. I was like, I would never thought we as black people would get to a place where we are dogging out Oprah
and Gayle
just freely.
Right.
I mean, Gayle, yeah, but Oprah.
Right. Oprah
just,
Winfrey.
Just comfortably.
Comfortably.
Just letting her have it.
But I also wouldn't think that Oprah and Gail would be giving people freebies like this.
I can see that. Times have evolved faster than they both have.
But I think the times have evolved faster than they both have, but also it's revealing some things that are like, eek. Because what Snoop Dogg posted after he posted the video where he went in on them was these photos of Oprah with Harvey Weinstein, Gail, multiple photos with Gail with Harvey Weinstein. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that's a stark comparison to them, you know, Gail, you know, out of what's reasonable in terms of like, if you want to talk about Kobe, you can do that on your own time, in your own segment, on your own show, as opposed to doing an interview with one of his friends. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like,
you ain't going on Harvey like that.
Right. What is your motives here?
Or his friends, or, you know, you're talking about him as a rapist.
Right. And then you had Oprah. Okay, that happened. And Oprah got on some morning show and was saying, and started getting emotional. She almost cried saying that Gail's getting death threats. All of this to me is a bit much.
Buyer some security, billionaire. Yeah,
right. But all this is a bit much because I wouldn't even think that Oprah and Gail could be affected like this. It's like everything that we know is not what it is. It shows you that what we do on digital media in general, what we do and what we do collectively and all the sites and things, it does have an effect, a major one. And that's also Oprah getting up on the show and getting emotional like that and almost crying over Gail. crying over Gail also showed me that that was the exact same reason why she pulled out of that documentary about Russell Simmons.
Oh, the heat got to her.
The heat got to her.
The heat got
to
her.
But that time she tried to pretend like, oh, the heat couldn't possibly get to me.
Right.
But it got to her and it got to her now. These are two situations where it shows you that heat got up in underneath that wig. It did.
It sure did. That's why it's so hot.
It got hot.
So high.
It got a lot of volume. So that happened. And then Snoop Dogg came back out and said he didn't mean to threaten her and let's move on. You know, he was just saying that, you know, her going after him right after he died like that was out of line. His words were out of pocket. And how she did it, I agree. I do agree that it was out of pocket. I just believe that, I do believe that as a journalist that Gail is, you do have a right. You do have a right to talk about what happened in a person's history and their past, no matter what it is. But you have to give it the right context. And you cannot be, I just think it was really, it would be really foul.
Yeah, it was a cheap shot.
Yeah, it'd be really foul. If I was interviewing someone that's a friend of someone, like, you don't have to bring up those things to a friend of the person. That's my issue. Like, why would, Gail, you knew you were being messy. You knew exactly what you were doing. And like you said, she wouldn't let it go. Lisa Leslie answered it, and she kept saying, you wouldn't know. You didn't. Mm. This is not that. And truth be told, I mean, she didn't quite get R. Kelly as good as she needed to either.
Oh, shit. Kelly had no points today. While we're at it, she didn't really do that either.
She didn't really get in that ass the way he needed to get it. No. I don't, it's just why we at it. Let's just tell the truth, honey. I feel like there was a lot of people that would have lit him up.
Yeah, he started like, what, spitting and crying. And so it went.
It just hit. This whole year went. It's like this, I don't know, 2020, it really feels like it's been 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this one year, it's like, my God. What else do we want to talk about?
Erykah Badu working on a perfume that smells like her vagina.
Oh, my God. And you know she doesn't shave and stuff. So it's like a whole situation going on.
Well, if you read the article, it says they used it by burning a pair of her panties and then, like, taking the essence and mixing it with, like, other things.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's going to be an incense. So it's going to have, like, a, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
A thick aroma.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know, get it, girl. Do what you got
to
do.
I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say. I don't know.
Okay, well, moving on from that. Evelyn is in talks to coming back to Basketball Wives for the 9th season.
Well, I bet if she comes back, that just definitely means that OG is not coming back.
You think so?
Of course.
You think that's why, like, that's becoming a thing? It's like me or her?
It's going to have to be that. I think it's going to have to be that. There's no way she's going to come back and deal with that. Because I feel like that whole situation became racially loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was Evelyn and or OG, you know, I just wouldn't want that to continue.
Yeah.
Because nobody is expanding fan bases. They're losing fans on any side of it. Because, like, when you're talking about racially loaded stuff, you can so easily
say the wrong thing
and slip up and be canceled. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't want that. And Evelyn is good. I mean, I'm sure that she's, you know, has collected some checks and collecting the check from her baby daddy, who's was one of the top baseball players ever.
Mm-hmm. Now little side businesses and.
Yeah. So I don't know. I would not, if I was her, I would not want to sign up for more of that.
Yeah.
I would mean no more of the patent of the pussy and, you know, Ocho Cinco wanted me.
Hey, babe.
And then he took a picture with her recently.
He did. I was like, oh.
I love his personality, though. He's funny as hell.
He's petty as hell.
Yeah. It's a lot going on. It's just so much going on.
Oh, God.
What else?
Sierra looked great at the Tom Ford show.
She did.
Had to get cut out of her dress at the end of the night.
I love them together.
Yeah,
I need to know what that prayer is, though. I need for Sierra to run me that prayer that she prayed to get Russell Wilson.
Did you see Alex Fine, Cassie's husband?
Mm-hmm. His comment.
Yeah, it was so super cute.
And what did you tell him?
Somebody said, you know, did Sierra share that prayer with Cassie? And he was like, how do you know Russell didn't share his prayer with me?
Mm.
And I was like, fuck.
I know that happiness that Cassie has with her baby daddy and that new born child, cute little girl, is killing Diddy. I know it's been a couple of things that has been setting him off because that whole situation with them was just so mishandled.
It really was.
It's just so mishandled. Cassie was with him for years, and while he did other things, as we had exclusively reported, with other women,
mm-hmm.
and then Kim Porter died, and he went on to talk about. This was during or right when they broke up. They had just broken up. Something was happening. I mean,
they had just split.
They just split. But then he went into, this is the love of my life. This is my soulmate.
I should have married you when I had the chance.
All this.
I missed out on all this time with you.
Mm.
bitch.
And then for Cassie, it was her way out.
Yeah.
That was her, like, thank you.
Oh, okay.
I'm so happy you said all this publicly.
Publicly. So now.
So I can go. Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
And the way she carried on so quickly.
No, I saw in Vogue, she planned her wedding in like 14 days.
Right. Like, fuck. And then she had a beautiful baby. Mm-hmm. And I was under the impression that that wasn't going to happen. You know, generally, she didn't want to have kids or whatever the case may be.
There were some conflicting stories as to why that was.
Why that was. And then it went from that to she's pregnant.
It was like, okay.
And I know for Diddy, it's just all so much. Because mm-hmm. people with money and power, they like to control. And when they see something that has obviously spiraled out of your control, like the person you were with for 10 years is very much so pregnant. And she's very much so with this white man. It's just so much.
And I'm glad we didn't run that,
it
though.
It tickles me. Oh, the other stuff.
The other stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that it's just, oh, Diddy. And then he went from that situation to Lori.
Yeah, and then
that did something super quick, too.
Very quick.
That was definitely an in and out. That was a drive-through. That was just, oh, wow, we had spent enough time together to order some fast food.
Basically.
Yeah.
It was a summer fling.
That's an in and out situation. Just it lasted long enough to get you some in and out.
Oh, God.
112, speaking of Diddy, the guy, former singer from...
Oh, Q from 112.
From 112 says he agrees with Mace and that Diddy should pay his artist.
Well, he didn't get no money from them either, so...
And the moral of the story, too, Love Muffins, and you need to really let this absorb in your spirit. Regardless of whether you're a white billionaire or a black billionaire, you became a billionaire at some point, at some way, taking advantage of people. Mm-hmm. Don't ever forget it. So if people just don't become billionaires
by going to work every day.
Going to work every day, doing things the right way. You know what I mean? I mean, say not, it may be certain situations where that's not the case, but I have never really seen it not necessarily be the case. Or a lot of times it is the case that people just don't see.
It can be the case. How do you accumulate $1 billion mm-hmm. when other people just don't have it?
Yeah. Or, you know.
Or where's it coming from?
Yeah. Or where did the original seed money come from? Mm-hmm. That's where it gets, you know, like you can get the original seed money dirty and then over time clean it up. But, you know, like at some point, it's very likely that somebody was taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. And whether or not you then want to go back now that you're at a position where you can maybe go and correct those things if your ego would allow it, that's another story. But typically, people, once you get to the point of you've already did these things many years ago, whatever the case may be, you're not trying to go back and handle any of that because you don't want to admit any type of, you know, guilt, or you don't want more people that you screwed over to come forward too and be like, hey, pay me as well.
Right.
And that's true tea.
Right. There's a caveat to the Jay-Z story that I don't know if we talked about, but him coming out and saying that he was not protesting by sitting down.
Exactly.
We mentioned that.
No, we didn't.
That should be
put in there because
that should be noted. Because
people were trying to discredit our story by saying, well, why did they sit down? Why were they sitting down during the national anthem? Because footage came out of them sitting down during the national anthem. And I said in the last podcast, that was because I think they just wanted to sit down. Mm-hmm. You know, like they don't, you know, that's just like they don't want to fuck it up. I mean, she sat down the Serena thing match where everybody stood up and was clapping and shouting, and Beyonce sat her ass down right there. Mm. And then she sat down at the Golden Globes as well. And Jay-Z sat down too, right? They both were seated?
Yeah, everybody was seated.
Yeah, and everybody else was up clapping and things. And so mm-hmm. I think that they just somehow, maybe one camera that they didn't know recorded them sitting down and that footage made it out. But he clearly came out the next day and said, that was not a political statement.
No, and then there's no need for a silent protest because they made the biggest protest of all by hiring diverse performers. Mm. And that's the way they protest police brutality, by having Shakira and Jennifer Lopez up on that stage.
And it also translates into the NFL said, you better get your ass out there and tell them people that we didn't, you know, that you weren't protesting. Because
right, how dare you?
This is not what we're paying you for.
Basically.
This is not the shuck and jiving we're paying you for. So you better get out there and shuck and jive and tell them this well and protest. Because that's even worse than taking a knee. Mm-hmm. Sitting down is just, I mean, that in general is disrespectful. I mean, either you're going to stand up or take the knee, but you can't just sit down during the national anthem.
Just not like.
That's why I said, please stand for the national anthem. Like, get your, you know, it's just, you know. Mm. And then it's like I said before, it's the quiet storm of the perfect fight. You have the Beehive and Jay-Z's people and stuff over in one corner, and then you have Colin Kaepernick and Black Lives Matter people in another corner, and a lot of people are caught in the middle. They don't even know how to position themselves. They're like, you know, and a lot of people are like, it don't matter. It don't matter. Oh, okay. Well, it did matter when you were trying to discredit my story, saying they were sitting down as a protest and saying that they were protesting, so that means that my story was false, because if they're protesting, they wouldn't be against Jennifer Lopez and having kids in cages. It mattered then.
Right.
But then when he came out and shucked and jived and said, nope, it wasn't a protest, oh, it don't matter no more. That's how crazy people are. And it goes, when they're wrong, it goes from mattering to not mattering real quick.
Real quick.
It's just too much. It's a lot of stuff going on. And people, I think a lot of people were saying stuff need to focus on, like, saving up for the Park Ivy they can't afford. The Ivy Park or whatever it is they can't afford. And on that note, do we have anything else? Jessica Simpson has been telling all the tea, too.
You know, but you know what? When you're an alcoholic, you have a lot of tea to tell. Because you do a lot of stuff.
And she's...
So I've heard. And apparently she's done a lot of stuff.
Is a lot of stuff coming out.
And
like, she was talking about how Nick was saying that her daddy was... her daddy would play grab ass under the table.
Well.
It's just too much.
You know what?
It's just too much.
I'm gonna just shut my fat ass up.
And then she said, and yeah, she was saying like she don't talk to him about that component of his life.
Hello. Jessica. I loved her though. I still like her.
Kesha just got slammed.
Damn. Bless her heart. She has to pay $373,000 to Dr. Luke because she told Lady Gaga via text that he raped Katy Perry. But her actual California thing is still ongoing, but that's like one component to it.
Right. And yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that she fell into that one because, number one, if you're going to say things like that, you need to call and say them. You don't need to be texting them. That's why a lot of times now with me, and not even now, it's been this way for a long time. When certain things get to a certain point, give me a call.
Yep.
Because I can tell you some things on the phone, but I'm not going to put that in writing right now. That's what we're not going to do.
No.
So when you put in writing about somebody else's rape or whatever the case may be, then, I mean, that is, you know, that's just too intense. She should have been speaking as to what happened to her.
Right.
You can speak to that. But you cannot speak to, like, that is a problem. That's why he's probably seized on that. Everything else that she's saying about him in her lawsuit is probably true as well. But at the same time, I also am not sure if I'm okay with people using what has been done to them to get out of a contract that they willfully signed.
See, and that's the only thing, you know.
That's a thing.
I love Kesha. That's my girl. But I think that you can, you can't, like you were saying, use what happened to you to get out of a business dealing that happened before that happened to you.
Right.
And it's a weird legal situation.
It's like a weird, this ain't that.
No,
I kind of wish it wasn't connected or, you know, it kind of makes, it's unfortunately, it makes you question motives when that happens.
Right. I mean, I think that in a perfect world, you know, she would have had a criminal proceeding. He would have, you know, gone to jail or whatever. He would have been found guilty and then that would have voided her contract. But you can't make these allegations, say, well, because he did this to me, Sony let me out of this contract without any, like, it's a really shitty situation.
I agree.
And I do believe her. I do think that those things did happen to her, but outside of her legal obligation to this company, what this man did, you know, it's just a bad situation.
Yeah, and I don't know what that has to do with, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how it necessarily relates to each other, per se.
I mean, having to work with your abuser, I think, is terrible. And if the company was a good company, they would let her out because, again, that's awful. But in terms of having a court force a legal contract to end, it's an overreach.
But can she sue them for that?
She is.
Okay.
She is.
So for the abuse, she's suing him directly for that as well.
Yeah, it got dismissed in New York, but had to be in California or something to that effect. It's been going on since 2014.
And so. One other tidbit that we forgot, too, is that the whole Gayle situation with Snoop Dogg and all that. Bill Cosby from jail.
From jail.
Bill Cosby from jail, you know, blast Gayle King over the interview.
I thought he couldn't see. How he tweeting?
How he tweeting? From jail.
Prison Wi-Fi.
It's like, what is happening? And then did we talk about last episode about how Heidi Klum was talking about she was a white woman?
No, that just happened. Heidi Klum was upset because when she, you know, defended America's Got Talent, people called her a white woman. Which, I mean. Heidi Klum is a white woman.
She's a white woman. It's funny to me. It's like, you know, is people now pretending like they don't have the privilege they have.
Well, somebody on Twitter, they put it like, you know, Heidi's so used to just being seen as a woman. Mm-hmm. And just that's just her identity. So when you put white in front of it as something extra, she doesn't, it's negative. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a white woman? Mm-hmm. I'm not just a woman?
And also, too, because just because you had a baby by a black man, did you have a baby by Steel, right?
Do they have kids? I'm sure they have kids.
They have adopted kids?
Oh, I don't know.
But I'm saying, well, just because you were with a black man and, you know, doesn't mean that you are
Oh, yeah, they got some kids.
They have some kids? Okay, mm-hmm. Good. So just because you have kids with a black man don't make you a black woman.
Nope.
Or it doesn't make you not a white woman.
Okay.
You're still a white woman that has benefited from that privilege. So, and she basically was saying that, you know, she hadn't experienced any of those things at America's Got Talent, much like how Terry Crews did. And the way NBC is getting all the people to step in line to say, you know, things of support towards them and subtly say, you know, shade Gabrielle Union is shocking. It's out of control.
I don't even know. Like, I don't even know.
And also shout out to the Young Turks. The Young Turks gave us a shout out on their show.
Oh, they did.
Uh-huh. And I can see if I can play it. Let me see. And I even know, like, they're kind of a big thing, right? They have, like, a huge following, like 2.8 million people on Instagram.
That's what I saw.
Or is this YouTube? But
I think it was YouTube, but it was news to me.
Let me see. Is it playing?
Nope.
Let's see. We're experiencing technical difficulties.
We're told in the segment, we're told Jay himself even tried to personally intervene to convince her, but Jennifer would not be moved away from the idea. If unfamiliar, Lub B. Scott broke the Gabrielle Union story, i.e. her being fired for speaking out against racism.
Yeah, people paying attention.
Show list.
And on that note, Love Muffins, thank you so much for listening to the show.
That was an abrupt ending.
Much just like...
But it's fine. It's Sunday.
It's Sunday. It's raining. You know, it is what it is.
Oscars are coming on.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. You know, if you have a problem, take it to the Rock of Our Salvation.
Not my DM.
Not my DMs or my attorneys. Double kisses. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to The B. Scott Show. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Love B. Scott. And make sure you review the show on iTunes. And you can always find me on lovebscott.com. We'll be right back.